recording on. Why don't we start with an update about the visit to Erie from maybe both of you. So maybe Austin, do you want to talk about the annotations first?
Yeah, sure. We aimed to get, there were three data sets that we were targeting, mainly the 3000K core set, which is on Ariza SNP, and that should be totally workable. My script is able to do it. All I need now is the mappings to the map their traits to the TO, and I should be able to have something that's usable.
Did they switch the way the DBX refs are done?
No. So I haven't asked them yet. But is it okay to just put the, because it looks like the one that works is the one with the hyphen in it in between the I.
Yeah, hyphens are fine.
So if I can ask them to just put a hyphen in instead of a space or an underscore instead of a space, that should work, right? Is that my understanding?
So maybe we should we show Pankaj that?
So yeah, from what I gathered from the email from Chris is there's a fundamental assumption that there are no spaces in those IDs.
Yeah. That's why I couldn't believe that the %20 didn't, the %20 thing doesn't seem to work.
Yeah. So what we're talking about.
Well, it's because the Amigo actually is interpreting the %20 as a space.
So this is the form you're talking about, this one that you put the dashes in instead of the spaces.
Right.
So Pankaj, what we have on Dev right now,
I can't see your screen.
Yeah, I can't see your screen.
I can see your screen.
Okay, good. You can't? Oh, that's because I haven't shared it. Sorry.
That makes a big difference.
This time change. I'm still adjusting.
Yeah, that 1 hour is tricky. It got me last night.
Okay, so what we have up on Dev right now is a small test file that Justin helped create, or Justin created it, and this was in order to test the format of the the DBX ref link. So we only have three annotations in this file, and each one has a different, and correct me if I'm saying this wrong, Justin, but each one has a different format of this DBX ref. And this is the one they're talking about that has the dashes instead of the spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And this one works, except that there's an X on the end, so it's not a real, ID, but it does go to the SNP database.
Yeah.
It just doesn't find anything because
the DBX ref gets correctly parsed by Amigo.
And then the second one.
That one just
redirects. This is the way it looks natively right now, right? Yeah. And this doesn't go anywhere.
No.
It just goes back to this page because it thinks, doesn't recognize that it's there.
Yeah, it can't parse it for some reason.
And then the third one is the one with the 20, mm-hmm. %20. And it gives you a 404 error, which is interesting.
I'm actually surprised the actual space doesn't give an error.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is weird that there's a difference between
the
two.
Yeah, that is
weird. I kind of thought, you know, if there's an assumption that there's no spaces, that I'm surprised the DBX ref is the only thing that doesn't work with it.
Mm-hmm.
But so, Justin, why did you put the Y on the end of this other one?
Because if I didn't put the Y, it would actually kind of double up the annotation.
The X, this one.
Yeah. ID's actually different. Otherwise, they would basically kind of all show up as annotated to the same ID.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they were just my test. The X and the Y is only to make them so that the IDs are different besides the space and the dash.
Okay.
Right. Because if a dash is in there, it won't find it anyway.
Because if this was the link and we took the X off, would it go to the correct?
No,
because it has the dash.
It has a dash in there, and the website URL has a space.
Okay, right.
So I need to contact Locke and have him change it to a dash or an underscore or something.
Okay, so we can't jury-rig it from our end by just inserting the dashes.
No,
I mean, there may be a way to do it in a path correct, but it's just a hack, and I don't even know if it's possible.
It's much better to get them to fix
it.
Right,
especially since it sounds like they're still at the beginning of this and no one else is really linking to it yet.
Right.
So let's get them to change it.
Yeah. If it's just the URL, I don't think it should be an issue. I don't know too much about what they're doing with that internally, that number internally, but as long as the URL can be changed, then I think.
Yeah, and like I said, URLs generally shouldn't have spaces in them either. I mean, it's sort of okay in that it'll automatically, some things will change it to that percent 20, some will change them to a dash, or sorry, sure. Not a dash, but a plus sign.
Sure.
But in general, it's not a good idea.
So, fine, as long they can, from their end, they can expose both the one with the space, and if there is one without, with an underscore or a dash, they should all still be able to resolve it. All they have, that's some magic can happen on their end, right?
Right.
Yeah, they may be able to have just kind of like a synonym lookup kind of thing where they have the space and they have one without the space and they're linked to the same term.
Right.
I don't know how they're...
I'll craft up an email that makes it as clear as I possibly can make it, and I'll copy Mal on it. And if they can get it to fix, then great. If they can't, then I can link to the blank search page, and if they're interested in a certain variety, they can just plug the Iris ID into the search page themselves.
That is true, but yeah, that would be the only option.
Right. It's not a perfect solution, but I have a feeling they'll be able to fix the URL for us.
They should actually. It's not just us. They are going to have problem with all the other stuff too.
Right. So
the website is very slow. I don't know.
Yeah. It's unbelievably slow.
Is it on Amazon Cloud?
Yes, it is.
It's supposed to be. Yeah.
That is funny because I thought their part of their cloud should be replicated and served from Dales. In Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
Dallas.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, Dallas. I think they have places all over the world, like, don't they?
It's definitely a little bit faster here than it was at Erie, but that's...
Because going from the Philippines to the Dells, back to the Philippines, and then...
Oh, that could... Maybe they need to pay a premium service charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Free and, one. Yeah.
So Austin, are you able to access the API?
Yeah.
From Covadis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I ran a test. I ran a test on it yesterday, and I can access the API. And I pulled down and recreated the on color and like, I think it was flag leaf length, and made a test script to do those two, and it works fine. Know that what you're seeing in the dev browser right now is not the final form of these annotation files. There is some changes that I've already incorporated, so don't get hung up on in there.
It's good. I cannot access the API since
really?
I'm back. Yeah, so that's why I was asking.
Yeah, it doesn't. I didn't encounter any issues. But if you also have. If you have issues accessing the API, I'm guessing other people might too. So we should include that in our list of feedbacks.
Yeah.
So then the other major data set would be the 120,000, 124, or whatever they kept saying, 1,000 germplasm that they have in the GRIMS system, also sent to Genesis. But we can't take the data from Genesis, so we asked them to give us, they store it in a Microsoft Access database. So I couldn't access it directly with my Mac, but I guess Marie was able to open it up and take a look at it.
And I shared with you the file, the first 60,000 accession file.
Yeah, that's fine. If you just give me whatever format it is, and then I can start at least crafting a way to
It's just a text file, and the query that I made is just that I get all the threads that were in the characterization table or morphological table. I don't know the name of the table.
Right.
All the information related to the passport data.
Okay, and it's all linked. It's all keyed on the accession number, correct?
Yeah, because basically. Yeah, everything is linking a single table. So for one row, you have one accession, and you have all the information that are available for this accession.
Sure. All right, and that comes They I remember them mentioning that there were two tables of phenotype or
yeah, I agree, but that in the database that we have there is only one table, so
okay. Well, I don't know what she did to it before she gave it to us, so that might be subject to change if we get it from somebody else next time, but for now that will work.
Yeah.
And so that we'll be able to get that in there, but that won't be dynamically updated in any way, shape, or form until we figure out a way to do that. And so those, because there's so many of them, I was going to make a separate association file per trait, maybe, to keep the files from being unwieldy. Does anyone have objections to that, or is there a reason we don't do that?
What? Say it again.
I was going to make an accession or a association file for each individual trait instead of one for the total, because I'm guessing if
so big.
they're going to be 120,000 lines long. So multiply that by the number of traits. I'm guessing there's at least 10 traits that they all have characterized, and then more for some of them. So we're talking about, you know, several million lines.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, you can do that.
So I was going to leave them as individual traits so that if there's an error with one of them, it's easier to trace down.
Or the other option is to go by each accession.
Yeah, but then I'd have 120,000 files with lines each.
Yeah, that wouldn't be very good.
Mm-hmm.
I could split them in different ways, have accessions one through whatever, but I think the easier way is to split them by trait.
Trait wise might be easier. If there's that many accessions,
I don't think the file size should matter because some of the maze and the Rapidopsis files are huge too.
Right. I don't know how huge they are. I don't want it to be impossible to open them up when we need to edit, if we need to edit them is all.
So I would say that you can go ahead and create separate ones, and Justin, you can do your magic to merge them. If at all is
well, it's not so much the problem of creating them, it's working with them that
yeah. My concern was just troubleshooting, because sometimes you find something that's wrong with a particular line and to trace it down, sometimes you need to open the raw file and
why don't you do it by trait to start with, and we can see. We can always combine them later if we want to, or we could maybe put them together in trait classes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we want all agronomic ones together or all the biochemical ones. So, sounds like a good plan for the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And then the last data set was the IR64 mutant lines. I think you said there was about 60,000 of them. The database that they were being housed in is currently not supported and has no plans of being supported in the future. So it's on their end, it's basically dead. There are people that are working with the particular lines. There are still some of them in the gene bank. So there's some information about them, but as far as them housing any of that information, it's they're not doing it and they don't plan to do it. But Mao said that it was his project. So he has the data or should have the data. But he told me to get back to him in a month and bug him for it. So I set a reminder, and I will poke Sir Mao, next month to see if he scrounged up that data. And if it is, we can at least put it in there and have maybe links to the gene bank if it's available.
Sure.
And for the 120,000... gene banks accessions.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to link those to Genesis? Because linking back to the Grimms system, the database at Erie, is somewhat cumbersome.
Yeah, we can link back to Genesis. That's not a problem.
Okay.
We have other things that link to Genesis, right? The mental data?
I don't believe I have any. I didn't steal anything from Genesis. Yes, lentil. Some of the lentil might actually, but I'm not sure it was mine.
Well, the cassava, because for the lentil, it was the breeding, you know, they are still in the breeding program. So all the lines that they have are not don't have yet an accession.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay, well, anything else on the annotations?
As far as the annotation goes, once I get the trait mapping figured out, I'll run my script and I'll send the final 3000K or the 3000 core set from Ariza Snip to the SVN, and then have Justin load it up, and then I'll send the link off to Mao and to you guys to sort of gloss over and see if there's anything displayed incorrectly or anything that's not quite working, and then fix it if need be.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. Alrighty.
Okay.
So, do you have any update on the trait dictionary progress?
Yes, I have. So Leo cleaned the threat dictionary, and now it includes threats from the Iris database. So all the threats that are in the gem banks, the characterization threats are in the threat dictionary, as well as some threats from GRISP. And so, yeah, so he finished the cleaning this morning, and he told me that the next step is to add the core thread from the Breeding for Rice project. And that should be done within a month. So what I started to do is I took the thread dictionary that Leo finalized this morning, and I transformed that into an OBO file. And I'm currently working on adding the mappings for the new variables that have been added and proposed by the GRIS project. And so I think that by tomorrow I will be able to send you push on GitHub an updated OBO file with all the new variables and mappings to the TO.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But yeah, so I was working on the mapping today, and I found out some weird stuff because I'm using my the formal definition to do the mapping, or at least to guide some mappings. And for example, for the apiculus threads in the TO, for example, apiculus color is linked to the PO term paleal apiculus, whereas in the rice thread dictionary, it's mentioned that the apiculus is from the lemma. So I'm not a botanist, so I don't know if that matters or not.
What was that?
The apiculus.
Do we have any apiculus anywhere? This is the only
apiculus. Yeah, you have the apiculus color, for example, or shape in the TO, and they are linked to the PO concept, paleal apiculus.
Right. And so, and then in the TO, you said it's
apiculus color, for example.
Apiculus of the lemma.
And if you look at the formal definition, the apiculus color is linked to the paleal apiculus in the PO, but in the thread dictionary, they mentioned that the apiculus thread should be linked to the lemma apiculus.
Okay, so we're gonna have to look at that.
Yeah, so you have the TO term.
Yeah.
What is the definition? A short, abrupt, flexible point presenting the apex of the paleal.
Yeah, so this is something I've actually been wanting to work on a little bit because let me make a note of this, Marie, and I'll take a look at this today.
Yeah, so for now, I mean, for those threads, apiculus thread, I link them to the apiculus thread in TO, even if one is mapping to the lemma
I think we should have a lemma apiculus too, because here, take a look at this link that I sent in the chat. We should have that. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they each have one. That's the plural.
Indeed.
Let me just think.
And so the former definition just highlights those issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so in the PO, all we have is the allele apical.
Yeah.
Should we call it pallial apiculus or pilea apiculus?
Well, you're right. It should be pilea.
You can add it as a synonym too.
The adjective form, no.
You can have an exact synonym, pilea apiculus too.
Yeah, or I could fix this and put this as the exact synonym. Technically, you know, in the botanical ontology, we shouldn't actually have these adjective type.
Yeah, and so, the same way we would need it for lemma apiculus.
Yeah, we could just call it lemma apiculus. So I'll put this on my list.
Image location. Since you're doing it already, so here's another one I'll suggest. Take a look at the new image link. Did I not do the right one?
Is it the second one here? No, that's the same.
This is a different one. So you say mucro. I don't know what that is.
Oops.
Yeah.
Did I stop my share? Mucro.
I took a picture. The Rice Museum at Erie had a very large picture of the rice grain that was broken down and had all the layers and things organized. I took a picture
cool.
of it.
You'll have to send that to me.
So I'll see what they define as each of these things.
Hmm?
And you know, one thing I think one thing that I've been thinking about in the TO is I think we have these traits that are lemma and palea traits, which I don't think is really the correct way to do it. I think it needs to be split out into separate traits. Get back here.
I think we'll leave it as it is right now. When we need it, then we can change it.
Well, it may have to be split out
at some point.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, there's a lot of things that need to be fixed here. I don't think it's really ontologically correct to have the two things together with an and. Yeah, this is the palea. Okay, so that's fine. So Marie, my question, we kind of got sidetracked there. We were talking about the trait dictionary and then we started going into the problem with the TO and the PO. So with the revised trait dictionary, he's going to still add more traits to it though, right? So maybe we should wait until he does that. No?
No, I think we should just go ahead and do it right now and then add a new version.
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, it just sounded like maybe it's going to change quite a bit between...
No, because, I mean, what is in the TD won't change. It's only new traits will be added and maybe some synonyms.
Okay.
But basically what is in will stay in.
Okay, and so you have this new OBO file, you're adding the mappings.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're going to replace the one that we are working with right now with this new one.
Yes.
And you're putting the mappings on the variable, right?
On the threat. But as variable are now defined as subclasses of threats, you can get the link from the variable to the TO.
The variable is a subclass. Okay, so I'm going to add lemma apiculus. Sorry, I'm just writing myself a note here. Pilea apiculus. Okay. All right. Anything further on that? Let's go back and see what's on our list here. Revisions to the trait dictionary. I had a note on here that we were going to talk about some of the Amigo issues we're having, but since Chris isn't here, I don't know if it really makes that much point. And then this is the OBA stuff. So, do you guys, sorry if I'm a lot of sense here right now. Do you want to talk about some more of TO issues then? I'll add this apicalis one to my list.
Sure.
We have, you know, we come across this issue where we have a number of things in the TO that are more granular than the terms in the PO. I think we've talked about this before. And Pankaj, you and I talked about the STEM cum issue, which we have on the list here, but that's actually only one example of this.
Yeah, and if I can just add something about the cum and STEM.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we were at Erie, they explained us that the stem and the culm is different from them, because the stem is the entire stem and the culm is only the inside of the stem. So sometimes what they do when they are measuring the width of the stem, I mean the width of the stem is different from the width of the culm because of...
Yeah, the flag leaf is wrapped around the stem. So when they use two different traits, they have culm traits and they have stem traits. And when they're measuring culm traits, they strip the flag leaf, or not flag leaf, the leaf sheath off of the actual axis and measure that. And they also measure it with the sheath on, and they call that stem length or stem width.
I think they're all confused. For us, the stem is the bare bones axis,
right?
Without the leaves, mm-hmm. They're right. Present there for some other. Those are lateral organs sitting or attached to the stem, and it's the same as for culm.
Yeah.
Leaf sheets are always wrapped around, no matter just not only the flag leaf. All the leaves in cereal plants or grasses actually are wrapped around the stem / culm.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on the anatomy. I'm just saying how they measure it in two different ways, and they have two different traits for that. So we can leave it alone and map to our upper level stem width or stem diameter, and leave that in the method portion of the CO, or...
So we can just make culm as a child, is a, that's what you're expecting to make it as a, is a stem?
Yeah, I think culm is a special case of stem where, you know, in the grasses. And I think, you know, we've got a number of cases of this, and I think there's different ways we can approach this, but it actually would make, I think it will make the TO richer if we, you know, keep this granularity and define them properly in the PO, and then we can have them in the TO. And this is one example that we've talked about already and have been kind of trying to deal with in the past here. Sorry for rustling here, but I was just looking for my notes on it. In the PO, we define the stem as the primary shoot axis. So we could break culm out. See, right now, culm is a synonym. We could break the culm out as a child of this, and then that way the TO, those traits will be properly organized.
That's all right. Go ahead.
So, and then we actually have a number of cases like this that, and one of the big ones is the fruit types. So grain, kernel, caryopsis, and fruit. And then, I mean, we have a number of other ones like pistil and carpal. And but the caryopsis issue is a really important one, I think, because, and I don't know, you guys can weigh in on this if you have an opinion, but...
Nobody annotates it to caryopsis.
Well, I mean, grain is a caryopsis, but there is a lot of grain and kernel traits.
There are.
All of those just go into the fruit. So, I mean, we don't have to really make a decision on that right now, but it's something we should maybe be thinking about.
I think that there's a situation in the especially in the rice community, that's because that's the only grain that gets polished. None of the other grains gets polished.
Well, yeah, that polishing is a different aspect of this issue, I think.
Right. So it's
in the maize annotations, we have lots of annotations to like kernel. And so all of that is being lumped just into fruit, the fruit traits.
That is fine.
I mean, they are fruit trees.
That is their fruit.
Right. Well, I know that's the fruit, but I'm just saying we're losing, the way I see it is we're losing a lot of granularity there. And then we have other cases in the TO, like, for example, we have panicle traits coming from mm-hmm. rice, which are inflorescences.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it seems like we need to kind of look at the TO and the PO and kind of make an overarching decision.
I think what is happening here is that we make a choice of going towards more species or clade specific things, and we make one part granular, and there because then we start creating precedences. We used to have this, we went back to generic, and now we are asking go back to the older version where we would delineate and have more granular. I think just for the sake of the community, I think TO is a reference that is absolutely fine, as long as they know what they're talking about in CO. That's absolutely fine, I guess. Because you start doing it here, and then somebody would come from banana, somebody would come from pomegranate, and from all sorts of millets, and they will ask him, "Why did he do it for rice and corn, but why are you not doing it for me?"
Yeah, I don't know. I think for the grass, the grasses are a pretty big community that we deal with, but I'm fine. I just think that, you know, it would be helpful to kind of have a overall plan for this and, you know, instead of kind of doing it on an ad hoc basis for each different thing.
So as long as they are things are shaping up, I think their primary annotation should all be done to the CO, right, Mari? And so as long as CO annotations are exactly to whatever they call it, grain or kernel or caryopsis, that is fine. And because those annotations are not missed, and in the merge and the CO plus TO merge copy that gets loaded, those CO terms are still available to them for annotating. So it doesn't have to be only a TO term. TO is just an anchor to get things going.
Right, but we've got lots of annotations in the TO to the TO as well.
So at some point, I think some of those annotations should go be redone to the CO.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps.
I think
perhaps
the bigger issue that brings up, I agree that if we're going to stay out of species, we should stay out of species altogether. But some of the traits in the TO right now are definitely not.
Yeah, not referenced.
Are not referenced.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, it came out of it, obviously. I mean, I don't need to tell Pankaj this because he did it, but it obviously came out of a rice background.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, so part of the chore is going to be removing the specificity or granularity from some of those terms.
Or you know, if we decide that we, you know, like this case with the stem and the culm, and we can decide if that's the way we want to go, then we can do that. And I think it'll be fine either way. We just kind of need consistency. And
I would just stay out of the species specific things unless absolutely required. And then at some point, let's say in half a year or a year from now, if the CO is mature enough, then we should transition all those TO annotations to CO.
Mm-hmm.
And then we stay generic, right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
So then what is the decision with the CULM and STEM issue?
Because the CULM is what you're calling is they are doing it completely different. So you can have CULM as a child of STEM.
Is CULM a species specific trait though? Or
CULM is generally for monocot grasses.
Yeah,
it's monocots and grasses.
So we're treading on dangerous.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think our rule in designing the TO should be how someone else is measuring traits. You know, we could deal with their weird way of naming their traits. You know, if our decision is not to be, you know, not to increase the granularity in the TO and create these different things, then I think we should stick with that and say, okay, CULM is a synonym of STEM, and deal with it with the CO and just by defining them properly.
I think the CO for rice is going to be robust enough that we won't need to make specific terms like that in the TO.
The only reason that I see for having more granularity in the PO and the TO in this way is I think it gives us a bit more reasoning power in terms of asking questions, because we can go in and ask specific questions about specific, you know, traits or structures, which you can't if they're lumped together. So, and I understand your argument here, Pankaj. I know we've talked about this in the past with the PO, you know, that you had this kind of broken out with different fruit types and so on at one point, and now all those are alt IDs. But it's just something I think we need to think about as we move ahead.
I think we should stay generic as much as possible.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because otherwise, there is no point in building the CO. And if your reasoning question comes in, I think we should do at that point, the reasoning should be done on the exact annotations that are coming from the CO. TO is just facilitating the inter-specific comparison.
Sure.
Right.
It's an anchor structure, anchor tree.
So in every case possible, we should annotate to a CO variable, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trait.
And by the way, I was just looking at the Google, and I think that the usage of the term name CULM is going down.
Okay. So Lowell brought up an interesting point. Are we annotating to the CO trait or the CO variable? Because we were talking about annotating to the variable at Erie.
Well, Marie just said that in this rice trait dictionary, they're annotating to the traits and the variable is a subclass.
Yeah, but we annotate to the variable.
But if a measurement is made in a particular way, we can annotate to the variable that includes that measurement and scale.
Yeah.
And it will pass the annotation up to the trait, up to our trait.
So here's one concern. We have
consistency in that for sure, because I had a little note here. Go ahead, Pankaj.
There was one concern that the variable, I don't know the exact score, sometimes say it's scale 1, scale 2, scale 3, right? And that scale 1, 2, and 3, the name itself would appear somewhere else too. So it is not very robust in saying that CULM height measured in centimeters scale 1. That should be the variable name. So it's a concatenated name of the trait, the method, and then the scale. Right now it just says scale 1, and I have no idea how to scale 1 would appear several places, so reasoner would not work.
Right.
So you need to find a mechanism on your nomenclature of the CO variables that you have.
Right, and we've been fooling around with different ways of representing that on Amigo.
I would say it can stay in your TD files. It can stay as scale 1, but when you transition into OBO format or OWL format, at that point you may have to combine the name, change the nomenclature automatically that it has trait plus method plus the actual variable name. That would be your name. Otherwise, scale 1, 2, 3, 4 would appear at so many places.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't think we really answered the question about whether you're annotating to the variable or the trait.
So in that situation, if you have done the nomenclature, and I think you should be, technically speaking, they should be annotating to all three, the trait from CO, the method, and the scale, because that's how your units would be determined. But if there is a prominent relationship between the three, if you do it only to the variable, then you should be able to track it back to the method and the trait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if you look at the variable, you have the link to a specific trait, to a specific method, and to the specific scale.
Yes.
So that's why we created the variable, because people were not able to annotate one data point with three ontology terms.
Yep.
Okay, so wherever possible, annotate to the variable.
Yeah. I mean, that's more precise, because you know exactly which method you have been using or which scale you are talking about.
Right, but Marie, you just said that the rice one that you're working on, you're mapping it to the traits, not to the variable.
I mean, I map the TO trait to the CO traits.
Right.
So, but as the variable are linked to a CO trait, they can be passed to a TO term.
So whereas in the GAF format, so far the approach has been to use the trait in the term ID and the term column that we are seeing here, and then the trait method and the variable goes in what was that column 16 extended annotation.
Yeah, extended because with the score, I have put has variable in there as a relationship, but if I could just move the direct annotation to the variable, that would look cleaner and be more informative, I think.
It would be clean, but again, the problem is, where would you store the actual absolute value of that score? For example, plant height scale 1 means semi-dwarf, and semi-dwarf means 90 centimeters. So where are you going to store that information?
So that would be, do you need that in your GAF file?
Yes. Yeah, we have been storing the actual trait absolute values. It was in the lentil one, for example.
But if the annotation says plant height, or using variable 5713 for rice height, which includes a scale, which will have the scale in there, and I say it was scored a 1 on the scale, then people should be able to find that scale and say, oh, what is a 1 in this scale?
Because the scale, people have to find out what that 1 means. First thing is that, and then that could be a bin term saying anything from 50 to 90 is scale 1.
Right.
But what was the actual value?
So, but if they're not recording the actual value, then there's no way to determine it.
They would record it. I think these data sets are transformed into post collection. So the data is collected on the exact thing. I don't think they're going to select the scale, but I don't know how the field books are set up. But they would record. They may record both the scale as well as the exact value. Otherwise, yeah.
They would map to two different variables then, because often there's a variable that includes plant height measured with this scale, 1 to 5 or whatever, and then there's a variable that's plant height in using a centimeter scale. So it would just be two different annotations if we have that information, that is.
Right. So that information has to be recorded somewhere in the extended annotation.
But I'm saying it wouldn't be, that would not be a single annotation. That would be two separate annotations. Right.
But why? It will be the same annotation.
Yeah, it might. I mean, that I think is just a limitation of the GAF format. We could have two separate. I mean, we could have two separate phenotype scores. Has phenotype score, you know, scale 1 or phenotype score 50 centimeters. in the same annotation, certainly.
No. So, for example, if you annotate to CO term, let's say, go back to that. Can you scroll? What is the term? Rice column.
So I'm on a rice variable right now. I was just looking.
Yeah. So it's I don't know what. Let's say if you annotate
to this term,
and it's, annotate to this term.
Right.
Average 1 to 7. I don't know what that is, but
that's the
let's scale. Say if it was 1 to 7 centimeter, right? And you would annotate to that, and add in your extended column, you would say. Actual score 1 centimeter or 2 centimeter. You just
we would use a scale. We would use a scale there, like a centimeter scale. I'm sure there's a centimeter scale.
No, it can be that there are average. There it can be 1 to 7 could be 7 different scales in this variable, right?
And 1 to 7 would be 7. No, what I'm saying is, so if this is, so in the example we were using before, 1 to 5 plant height, there would be a scale in the CO, which is plant heights from 1 to 5, right? So we could use the term, the CO underscore whatever number that corresponds to that scale.
Oh, no. So I think that is, I see what you're saying. So variable sometimes has scales 1 to 5, right? But they are actually 5 different scales. So I think we should create variable for each scale. Scale, plant height, scale 1, scale 2, scale 3, scale 4, 5. 5 different. So annotation goes to, let's say, scale 4. And then you measure, then you write the actual value that was scored.
So a variable can include multiple scales?
Absolutely.
No, it's different variables. See, this one here is plant height average in centimeters, plant height measured 1 to 9.
Yeah, so 1 to 9 is actually, there should be 9 different variables should be there.
Well, there could be more than 9. It could be 1.5 inches. Well,
because right now, we are leaving the folks to actually select after you select this variable, then they have to type the number 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 9, and then they have to also provide what is the actual plant height in centimeters.
So, but the scale 1 to 9 is it? That is the scale. The scale is not scale 1.
No. It says that you have to measure into different bins, 9 different bins. Bin could be 1, bin number 2, bin number 3, bin number 4. So these are 9 different scales, actually.
Right, but if I'm recording, if I measure 2 plants and plant 1 is a score, scale 1, plant height score, scale 1, or score 1, and plant 2 is a score 3, to compare those two, I have to use the same scale, 1 to 9. Right? They're not like, there's not different breakdown. I mean,
but those were different plants.
Right. But that's what I want to compare.
Right. Yeah. What I'm trying.
The point is to compare data, right? So if I want to compare one to the other, I don't want a separate scale. I don't want to look at everything that's got a score of 1. I want to look at everything that has a score that is on a scale from 1 to 9.
Yes.
So if we have separate, I don't see how there would be separate variables for each of those. Like for centimeters,
I think in that case, you should be comparing at average centimeter scale at the method level.
Right, but if you don't have that data, if you don't have this average centimeter data, you just have a 1 to 9. I know that.
No, but that is the beauty of the ontology tree, that you because the child annotations from the child will move to that upper level term.
If they're there.
Right.
There has to be, because right now the relationship is not showing up, but that is corrupt. So
some people measure disease in rice or corn or whatever as lesion length or lesion size, and you have an average lesion size.
Yeah.
Some people measure it as a scale of 1 to 5. People are not measuring the lesion size and then converting that to a scale. They're just looking at it, visually assessing it, giving it a 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5.
Qualitative measure.
So in the case that someone, if you measure your lesions as a 50 millimeter or a 5 square centimeter lesion size, and I give that a 6, I can't compare those at all unless I use the upper level term. But if we measure it in the same, using the same scale, 1 to 5, we can compare directly on that scale, which is in one variable. But if they're separate variables, then we're going up a level anyway.
Mm-hmm. I think you should be recording it to the exact scale rather than 1 to 9.
I mean, I agree wholeheartedly. If everyone recorded their data with the exact volume of the lesion, we'd be fine. But that's just, we can't tell people how to record their
data. Right. The data is the way the data is, right?
No, it means that's the way the CO has been designed. It is meant for being integrated in the field books, electronic field books. So,
right. Or, but right? I mean, that's from here on out. And that's if people use them.
When,
maybe, Marie, do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, so what they do, so when they are building their trial, they just select the variable. And then when they are in the field to record the variable, they all the scales, I mean, that are under scale, will be shown as possible value to control the data that are entered for this specific variable, if the variable is this categorical variable. So we have the different scales under the scale and not under the variable because yeah, as Austin said, I mean, you are recording a variable, but the value are controlled using the scale, the different scales. But I mean, I understand that for a quality control or whatever is maybe, it would be important to have also subclasses of the variable because you can say directly that this data belong to this scale. And in the GAF format, since we are describing each data point individually, if we want to be very precise, I mean, it's better to annotate the more precisely that we can, so maybe at the scale level.
So for example, what you're saying is that there should be this is your variable one. These are separate terms, okay?
Yeah, that's a scale, yeah.
Right, and then you have a method on top of that, right?
Yeah.
On top of that is your trait, right? So they should be, technically right now, it is, what is happening here is 1 to 4 are here, and these are not even your ontological terms.
I mean, yes, they are, but they are not part of the variable. They are part of the scale. So you have trend, yes. Method, scan, and then variable.
So right now, what I would expect is to have 4 different variables for that thing. Or you can create a bin level, 1, 2, 4, and then have individuals, because then it's a problem. At that point, right now, if it was 1 to 4, then you are actually doing a score would be 1, and then for that one, you were also saying that it is 50 centimeters, right? Another one, a selection would be in their field book, would be selection 2 for 70 centimeter. That's their actual. So right now, if you remember, Austin. But you've done this kind of an annotation.
Right.
You scored this. Then you, in your extended annotation, you set that scale 2, and then actual value also you recorded at 70 centimeters, right?
I wish there were
4 different scales at that point of time, because then you can put in your definition saying. If you choose variable scale -2, then your distance, then you're measuring between 40 centimeters and 50 centimeters. Right now, that information is staying in the TD and it is not even showing up in the ontology anywhere.
Yeah, that's because the method of and scale of relationship are not showing up on the browser.
No, but we are not even saying, right now, all the information is at this level, right? Right? And somewhere, we are not telling anywhere in the ontology definition or comments, what does four mean and what does two mean and what does three mean?
Yeah, I mean, this is part of the scale. So yes, in the ontology, if you look at the OBO file, you have the a description, maybe sometimes it's very short, I mean, of each different scale.
Uh-huh. Where does that go in the definition?
It goes on the scale. So, Laurel, can you show the, I don't know.
Like the OBO file?
The threads that are categorical scale?
Not here. Go to the, is there any? Let's just.
I'm sorry, I'm not clear what the question was.
Can you go?
You want me to show?
I don't know. If you look at root diameter,
okay,
maybe.
Root diameter, okay.
Maybe it will be just in millimeter. I'm not sure.
Yeah, this one's millimeters. So you're looking for a categorical one?
Yeah, a categorical one, yes.
You're like, pissed. Oh, that's anything millimeters.
That can be measured. It can't be measurable.
Or a color or
that's
whatever.
That's a ratio. Okay, a color one, yeah. I saw one of those up here I was looking at.
And if you click on the color,
here's anther color. This is a good one.
Enter. And then you have the description of the scale. So we have two subclasses of the scale anther color scale. And one is yellow. And so in the data set, you will see 030. Or you have brown, that is 050.
So, in just a second. So, in the case of in the OBO file, where is the information stored in about category one and category two?
It would be under the scale.
So those would be subclasses. Category one and category two would be subclasses of scale anther color scale.
Yes.
Can you check in the?
Can you open
in the Plantium?
Oh, it doesn't show up in the Plantium yet because we have the relationship is wonky.
Yeah, so you cannot.
But at least if we go to this, if we go to the variable, we should be able to see that.
No, because you cannot go from the variable to the scale. I mean, this information is not part of the variable; it's part of the scale.
And scale is not in our.
Scale is.
Yeah, it is, but it's not shown in the browser.
Yeah.
But is it in the OBO file?
Yeah. Yes, it is on the OBO file.
Can I see?
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up here.
You are.
What is this, Canada?
maybe you should be looking directly for the scale ID.
The scale, yeah, here. So, your
and the color scale.
Your this scribble is on the...
I can remove that, that's not a problem.
I'll move it over. That's weird.
What was the scale ID? I was going to look up the thing.
Yeah, so the scale ID is 1918.
Where is that?
Can you look for the CO00091?
Oh, this one, yeah. Okay.
This one.
Here we go.
Yeah, but this is the definition of the variable. So C pancache for each variable, each variable is linked to a thread, a method, and a scale. And then you can see that, you can go for the thread and see the different or the scale and see the different.
No, wait. So it says rice anther color scale.
Yes.
But where is the category one here?
I mean, it should be somewhere in the file. I think maybe I have a problem with.
It seems like.
No,
I don't want to do that. It seems like that has
no whatever
not
whatever
been captured.
Whatever we just saw a little while ago on the crop ontology website, where is that information?
Yeah, so it should be on the OBO file, but
see, it doesn't look like it's been captured.
Really, because that's maybe because I changed. Let me think. Because you have a problem, you cannot display. You know, remember on the website because the scale were defined as the scale ID and then a dash and then a number.
Right. We've been fooling around with trying to get those to show up.
So yeah, no, maybe but when I was trying to
it should be visible in the OBO file. Where is that?
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying, Pankaj. So maybe when I try to fix that, I mean to add dashes to all the scale ID, I maybe, yeah, made a mistake. And can you find any categorical scale in that file, Loan? Apparently not.
Give me an example.
Check the same thing that you have in the OBO, yeah, and the terminology file. Mm-hmm. Website.
GitHub. Yeah, if we download directly this. Ice. Over file.
So this one is the variable. Okay.
Yeah, so apparently, I don't know what I made, but
yeah, so that information is in the TO or CO on their website. I don't know why it's not showing up. Let's find another example.
Rice anther color scale.
Yeah, so apparently, with the Rice file, there's no. Okay. So why?
Can you search something?
Yeah, I agree. It would be good if we could capture that information with into the OBO.
Okay, that's a mistake. That's really my mistake. I mean, it was there before, but apparently with all the changes that I made to try to have the file working in the browser, I mean,
Let me try the other one, Marie, because we have...
Yeah, but I changed the two Rice file at the same time because...
Because the one I opened was the one with the crop names, I think, right?
Yeah, but even I just checked the other one and...
The other one is the same. Okay. Well, so that's something to think about. Maybe you could modify the conversion script and...
Yeah, if you look at the lentil file...
Oh, let's look at lentil, okay.
You can see, yeah.
So with the crop name, this one?
Yeah, with the crop name.
So while they're bringing this up, so the bottom line is it will everything will still be annotated to the variable, but if it has, so if I annotate it to that variable, whatever, rice anther color scale or rice anther color, that variable includes the scale. So if it says, you know, has phenotype score 030, you should be able to look at that and look at the scale below it and see what 030 is in that scale, correct?
Yes. If you ask.
But we don't. Yeah, right. So we won't directly annotate to that. But I could also include the CO ID for that particular scale in column 16.
Yes, and so you will get the exact description of the scale.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah,
but for the scale ID, we still have to fix, I mean, IDs, because so I'm using a colon. Is that a colon?
So in the lentil file, it looks a little different.
So if I just stay here.
Please.
So if we do, let's say, an annotation to this thing, which is a equivalent of a TO, right?
This thing meaning what?
This is a trait, right?
The lentil. I'm not sure what you're referring to, Pankaj, when you say this thing.
Can you see my annotation on the screen?
There we go. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
this is a scale term. It's not a trait.
Yeah. Is it not?
No. No.
This is a lentil scale. See, these four that are shown on the screen here are the basically like the definitions of the scale for 2, 3, 5.
So in this case, the annotation would be to whatever this trait is. I'm guessing it's a resistance trait. So I would annotate. Yes.
Here's the method.
To the variable that includes this scale. And then I could put CO underscore 339 colon 000002 and then parentheses, put whatever score it is, whatever.
Like lentil no lesion.
Yeah, 1 to 9 or whatever. I'd put the 9 in there, and then that would link it to whichever subclass of that scale it's talking about.
So synonym, for example, here, let's say, the synonym that we have here, you see, one doesn't mean anything because that synonym might show up somewhere else too.
Right, but in the annotation, which would be through the above term, it would say CO underscore 339 colon 0000002 colon, or, and there wouldn't be a colon there. I'd probably use parentheses one inside of that.
But I said that I think it's, we should take a look at it, how it would appear. But my gut feeling is that we should do the primary annotation to the trait and then have all these informations in your extended annotation.
In the GAF. Okay. Yeah. I mean, what I need is a set of data that has that information just so that I can maybe play around with it.
Yeah, I mean, cook up something.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and I have, I mean, in the data set that I share with you, probably the Cassava data sets from the BMS, I think you have the annotation to the threats and to the variable.
Right, I think so.
And so from the variable, you can manage to get the different scales.
Right. So why don't we look at those different options? I think we probably should wrap up here. We're well past the hour. But I think we need to kind of dig into this a little bit more and see how that will look.
Because the people would always, users would always come with the trait in and then filter out or filter the results for a certain kind of a scale that they're looking for.
Right.
So only the ones which are resistant.
Yeah, they start with the trait.
They definitely want to be able to filter by the scale.
Yeah.
By the trait first and then filter by method and scale.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would say that your primary annotation should always be to the trait, and then have all these extended information. Just a sec.
Oh,
you guys can go ahead.
We should probably hang up here.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, I need to go check on my puppy.
Yeah,
she's been locked in there for like 2.5 hours now.
Oh no! All right, let's wrap up here, and we can talk again later this week or next week.
Yeah, whatever works for me.
Okay. Thanks very much, everybody.
Thanks.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.